Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Text number 11. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Itam Etat Pura Raja Bhismam Dharma Britam Varam Ajata Shatru Papracha Sarvesam No Nusrinvatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Itam Etat Para Raja Bhismang Dharma Bhatang Varam Ajata Satru Papracha Sarve Sang No Nusvatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Itam Etat Para Raja Bhismam Dharma Bhatam Varam Ajata Satru Papracha Sarve Sam No Nusrinvatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Itam Etat Para Raja Bhismang Dharma Bhatam Varam Ajata Satru Papracha Sarve Samno Nusrinvatam. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, said, Etam Das Etat This Para Formerly Raja The King Bhismang Unto Bhisma Dharma Of Religious Principles Bhatam Of The Upholders Varam Unto the best. Ajatasatru, King Yudhisthira, who considered no one his enemy. Papracha, asked. Sarvesam, while all. Na, of us. Anusrinvatam, were carefully listening. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, My dear Uddhava, just as you are now inquiring from me, similarly, in the past, King Yudhisthira, who considered no one his enemy, inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. There's no purport, so maybe I'll just say a little something, then we'll go on. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Ginanjana Salakya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukham Krota Bhachalam Bhangun Lunghaya Tegrim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shigurum Dinataranam Vancha Kapa Tubhistya Kripa Sindhav Jevacha Paritanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare. So this verse starts out with something that is not found in other religious systems. It's Bhagavan, means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, there's many religions that think that God is not a person. He's not a person. He's some energy. But here, Bhagavan means the Supreme. Not only is he a person, but he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, this is also Godhead is also something you don't find. I mean, I never heard that word before I joined the Hare Krishna movement, Godhead. And why is that word used there, Godhead? Just like in there's some companies, there's big companies. So there's many bosses, right? In big companies, there's many bosses. But then there's the head boss, you know, like Gates, you know, Bill Gates. You know, there's many bosses, and he's got a big company, Microsoft. So there's many bosses, probably hundreds, if not thousands, of bosses. But he's the head boss. So there's many gods, right? There's many gods. There's demigods and so many. So there's the head god. That's Krishna. Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Krishna. And this word Bhagavan, it's also very, it has many other interesting meanings. It means he who has all opulences. And this word opulence, this is also not a word that's used very much. I've asked many students when I'm distributing books, you ever heard this word opulence? No, never heard it. So Prabhupada brings out all these words that are describing Krishna. And what are those opulences? Beauty. Krishna is very, very attractive, so attractive. Can't imagine how attractive Krishna is. And not only in his looks, but everything about Krishna is attractive. I was distributing books recently, and one student asked, so what was it that attracted you to the Hare Krishna movement, to Krishna? What was it? I said, everything. So Krishna is all attractive. Everything about Krishna is attractive. His words, of course, that's the first thing that attracted me, reading Bhagavad Gita. The words of Krishna are very attractive. I mean, when you go to schools, you know, generally in school, you don't find things that are attractive. You're just going through it, you know, just to get through and get your degree and your whatever, you know, get your, you know, pass the grade. But you generally don't find the words that are attractive or teachings that are attractive. But the Bhagavad Gita is very, very attractive. The words of Krishna are very attractive. So everything about Krishna is attractive. His pastimes are attractive. Yeah. His form, of course, his form is very attractive. So attractive that nothing compares to the attraction of Krishna. And therefore the gopis, they thought the creator, Lord Brahma, to be, it's described in the Nectar of Devotion, a dunce. You understand? You know this word dunce? Dunce means, you're stupid. Or that's one word for dunce. Just stupid. Because he created eyelids. And therefore they couldn't see Krishna for that moment that they closed their eyes. So they're so attracted to Krishna. They just wanted to see Krishna constantly. They constantly wanted to see Krishna. Everybody wanted to see Krishna. So attractive. So beauty, wealth. Krishna is very, very wealthy. He owns everything. Extremely wealthy. He's very strong. Yeah. So many demons tried to kill Krishna. But no one even came close. I mean, there wasn't even a close battle. Sometimes when there's fights, you know, there's close battles. You know, there's a close fight. And it was a close one. It was a close. But no one else even comes close to Krishna. So powerful. And he's known as Satyasankalpa. That whatever he wants, he's so powerful that whatever he wants, it just happens. Yeah. Just like this planet is just floating around. It's a small planet in a small universe. Yeah. This is this universe, you know, Lord Brahma only has four heads. Other universes, he has a lot more. Like thousands. Big, huge universes, big planets. And all these planets are floating around simply by the will of Krishna. He's so strong. And the planet is very heavy. Yeah. I mean, just like there's so many construction companies, they have to dig up the ground sometimes to make the foundation. It's very heavy, you know. Big rocks and dirt. I mean, this planet probably weighs millions of tons. It would be safe to say it weighs millions of tons. And it's just floating around by the will of Krishna. Yeah. And so many planets are just, as Prabhupada mentions, like cotton swabs just floating around. Yeah. So this is the will of Krishna, just by his will. So strong, so powerful. So beauty, wealth, strength, fame, very famous. Everybody's heard of God. Of course, they don't understand so much. It's difficult to understand God. Renunciation. Krishna is very renounced. He has all these planets all over the universes. And, you know, he's happy just there in Vrindavan. Of course, he comes here occasionally to try to help us. But he's very detached. Yeah. Very detached. Even so much so that when he was in Vrindavan, he, in the dead of night, he was playing the flute, and so many beautiful gopis came and were there. Why? To enjoy with Krishna. And what did he say to them? Ladies, it's very late at night. There's deadly animals here. You can get harmed. Go home. Go home. You might get hurt out here. And they said, Krishna, only you can speak like this. Here we are, very attractive ladies, in the dead of night, and you're telling us to go home. I mean, that's like the epitome of detachment. Very, very detached. Yeah, he's when they were having the Rajasuya sacrifice, the most important personality is so supposed to be worshipped first. So some said Bhishma, because he was there. And Bhishma, he's, as it's mentioned here, Bhishma, he spoke to Krishna. He was instructing Krishna and all the Pandavas. And probably some others were there. I mean, do we know of any other instance where Krishna is being instructed? Sandipani Muni, his guru, that was probably the only other time that I know of, where Krishna was being instructed. Bhishma was given instructions to Yudhisthira. Mainly it was to Yudhisthira. But others were there, listening, taking advantage. And this part of the Mahabharata, where Bhishma is speaking, is a huge, huge part of the Mahabharata. Chapter after chapter after chapter after chapter, Bhishma is instructing Yudhisthira and others there who are listening. So when it was trying to be decided who should be worshipped first, Bhishma was one of the persons that was mentioned. And he said, no, as long as Krishna's here, I cannot. Krishna is, he's the supreme. And they say that I'm the best brahmachari, but actually I'm, you know, he took this vow of brahmacharya because his father was lamenting. And Bhishma, what was his name before his name Bhishma? Anybody remember? I forgot his name. Devadrata? Devadrata? Devadrata, I think. So he saw his father lamenting. He said, "Father, I've never seen you lament like this. What? Please, is there anything I can do? I wanted to marry this girl, but the father would not allow me." So Devadrata, he went to the father, find out who this lady was, who the father. "Please allow my father to marry this, your daughter." "No, no, because my grandson, he will not be the king." "It's okay. I won't take the throne. I won't take the throne. Just, it's okay. You allow my father to marry your daughter." "No, no, still. Because your son will become the king." "No, no. I take this vow that I won't marry." Just, he was such a selfless son. You know? So as soon as he took that vow that he's not going to marry, unembodied voice came and said, "Your name is Bhishma." What does Bhishma mean? Horrible vow. So he was a brahmachari throughout his life. He was a prince, you know, and would have been king. But he took this vow of brahmacharya. But then he said, "But I could not do what Krishna has done. He's in the dead of night, you know, with all these beautiful girls, telling them to go home. I could not do that. He's a better brahmachari than me. He's better than me, much better than me, in all angles of vision." So therefore Krishna, he was worshipped first. So that's just a little bit about this this verse here. Now we'll go on to text. This is text number 12. When the great battle of Kurukshetra had ended, King Yudhisthira was overwhelmed by the death of many beloved well-wishers, and thus, after listening to instructions about many religious principles, he finally inquired about the path of liberation. This is text number 13. "I will now speak unto you those religious principles of Vedic knowledge, detachment, self-realization, faith, and devotional service that were heard directly from the mouth of Bhishma Dev." So who's speaking? Krishna. He's speaking to Uddhava. Now, so these are the five things that Bhishma Dev spoke to Yudhisthira. And they're in sequence here. The first thing is Vedic knowledge. He's going to speak to him about Vedic knowledge. Now, so knowledge is of the Vedas is a very important aspect of Dharma, of understanding who we are. Knowledge is very important. Just like this Sanatana Goswami, he said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, "People think that I'm a great scholar, but actually," he said, "Kayami, I don't know who I am. Who am I? What is the goal of life?" So, of course, he was taking this humble position. So what did Lord Chaitanya say? "Jivara swarupahoi krishnara nityadas krishnara tatasya sakti veda veda prakash." It's the constitutional position of all living entities to be the eternal servant of Krishna. Why? Because they're simultaneously one and different from the Lord. And they're meant to serve Krishna. We're part of Krishna. Jivara swarupahoi. This is our swarup. Jivara swarupahoi. Krishnara, to be the eternal servant of Krishna. Jivara swarupahoi. Krishnara nityadas, the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is our position. Everyone's position is the eternal servant of Krishna. So this is very important knowledge to understand it. But how many people understand that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna? Nobody wants to be a servant, right? People want to be the master. And when they hear, sometimes they hear, well, I don't want to be a servant. I want to be a master. Just like in Los Angeles, there was one Bhakta there. He was an African-American Bhakta. So he was there for a couple months, and then he packed his things and he was leaving. And one devotee said, well, where are you going? Why are you leaving? He said, well, I found out that God is black and that his consort is white. So I'm going to go out and do Krishna's thing. You know? He's going to go out and try to enjoy it, try to be Krishna. And this is the program. People come here to be Krishna, yeah? To try to be the enjoyer, to try to be the proprietor. But we're not the enjoyer. We're not the proprietor. We're the servant. And actually, this is the highest happiness. This is the highest happiness of the souls, to be the servant of Krishna. It'd be very difficult for most people to grasp that the highest happiness that you can ever experience is to be a servant. It's inconceivable. But even Krishna likes to serve his devotees. There's one pastime of one great devotee, Jayadev Goswami, who wrote the Das Avatar. We sing the Sringa prayers every morning. So he was a very prolific writer. He wrote a lot. So he was writing about Krishna's pastimes. And the thought came to mind that Krishna becomes the humble servant of Srimati Radharani. And it just didn't sit right with him, because, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He's everything. So he thought, well, let me just meditate on this a little bit. And he told his wife, I'm going to go bathe in the Ganges and come back, take prasad. And then he would continue his writing. So he went and he bathed and came back. And he noticed that his wife is taking prasad. And he was surprised. He said, Devi, we've been married for so long, I've never seen this before. You're honoring prasadam. Usually you wait till I take prasad, then you take prasad. And she said, excuse me? You went, you bathed, you went into your room, you did a little bit of writing, then you came back in, you took prasad, then you stepped out, and now you're saying you didn't take prasad. How is this? And he said, I took prasad. I'm still hungry. I didn't take prasad. You said I went into the room and wrote. So he went into his room and he saw written in golden letters, Krishna becomes the humble servant of Srimati Radharani. And then he understood, wow, that was Krishna disguised. Krishna is a very good actor. He's such a good actor, even his wife didn't know that it wasn't her husband. It was Krishna. So he went back into the room and said, you know, I have good news for you. That wasn't me that you served prasadam to. That was Krishna. He wrote in my paper there. So that wasn't me that you served out. And you're right now, you're honoring the remnants of Krishna. Is there any left? Yeah. So Krishna likes to serve his devotees. It's all about service. In the spiritual world, it's all about service. Therefore, it's stated, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalior Dasa Das Anadas. This is the perfection of life, to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the lover of the gopis. So Krishna is always serving the devotees, and the devotees are always serving him. And Krishna is so pleased by their service that they just feel so much happiness in serving Krishna. And Krishna is so happy in serving the devotees, and there's this constant reciprocation going on. You know, competition, who can please the other the most? It's all about service. And therefore, the Hare Krishna mantra is about service. We're praying to Krishna, please Krishna, purify me. Purify my heart of all this dirt so that I can serve you nicely. We want to serve Krishna. And there's so many, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada has brought so many different ways that we can serve Krishna. Yeah. It's like it's stated the most important service is to hear. From hearing comes understanding. So Krishna, he heard from Bhishma. And now Uddhava, he's hearing from Krishna. So from hearing comes understanding. From hearing we understand that we're the servants of Krishna. And we'll be satisfied. We'll be fully satisfied by serving Krishna. Yeah. Not by serving our senses. Everybody is thinking that by serving my senses, by pleasing my senses, by pleasing the mind, doing what the mind wants, then I'll be satisfied. But no, it's by serving Krishna. Understanding who Krishna is and serving Krishna. So this is what's taught in the Vedas. So then, if one has this knowledge, then the next thing he discusses is detachment. One becomes detached. If you have knowledge, if you have absolute knowledge, then naturally you become detached. Yeah. You become detached. Yeah. Naturally. You get this high knowledge. Then you become detached from the body. You become detached from material things. It's a natural sequence. And if one gets knowledge, Jaya Shri Radhakala Chanji. If one gets knowledge and doesn't become detached, then what is the use? What is the use of the knowledge? Yeah. Real knowledge is that one becomes detached. And that's what we're teaching. We're teaching, therefore, Lord Chaitanya came. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. He comes to teach knowledge and detachment. Yeah. So that's what we're teaching. We're giving people knowledge by which they can become detached from material existence. But at the universities, what are they teaching? They're teaching attachment. Right? They're teaching attachment. The knowledge that they have to give is simply teaching attachment. And therefore, if you go to the universities, one of the main things that's being taught is business. Right? Business. Sometimes there's courses where there's 500 students in the class. They have these big classrooms, you have 500 students. And what is being taught at these big classrooms? Business and computer engineering, you know, things like these are the big things, you know. Like half the students I speak to, you know, business and engineering. It's like, why? So they can go out and make a lot of money. Increase their attachment. But we're trying to teach them detachment. Give this knowledge by which people become detached. Yeah. And therefore many devotees, they got Prabhupada's books, and by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, they got off drugs. And many professors were very impressed with Prabhupada because back in the 70s, the government was having a big problem with people taking drugs. And they didn't know how to deal with it, you know. But so many people were getting off drugs just by reading Prabhupada's books. They became detached from this contamination. Yeah. Even heroin, heavy drugs. Cigarettes also, it's a drug also. It's very addictive. Yeah. But devotees just read Prabhupada's books, chant Hare Krishna, and they would become detached from all this contamination. Yeah. And when Krishna shows special mercy, Yashaham Manugranami Hirishe Taddanam Shanai. He takes away. He doesn't wait for the person to get realization. He just takes it away. Yeah. And then one gets the realization. Yeah. Krishna gives realization that there's no real happiness. And just like there's this, in the Bhagavatam, there's this one, Avanti Brahmana, who was filthy rich. He was so wealthy, multi-millionaire. But he was very greedy. And he wouldn't even, you know, if his children asked for something, he wouldn't give it. His wife asked. He was very greedy. Yeah. And by the arrangement of Krishna, all his wealth was taken away. All his wealth was taken away. Everything. And he just became poverty stricken. But then in his detachment, in that state of losing everything, he actually became self-realized. And the sannyasis, they chant, when they take sannyas, they're given another mantra. And that mantra is the mantra that this Avanti Brahmana spoke in his position of being forced into detachment. He became a great devotee. Yeah. So it's actually a blessing, yeah, to have everything taken away, to live very simply. And therefore, what is our motto? Simple living, high thinking. Yeah. We don't need much. Yeah. So we're very fortunate that we have this this knowledge, and that we're getting this information also about that we should be detached. We shouldn't be so attached. We don't need so much. Yeah. Just like we have examples of devotees that were very wealthy, and they just gave it up for Krishna. Yeah. Upon getting the wealth of Krishna consciousness, they gave it up. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they were multi-millionaires, very wealthy. Yeah. One was like a finance minister, and the other one was a minister. So they were very wealthy, big mansions, so much opportunity for sense gratification, and gave it all up. And then they were living under a different tree every night. Yeah. Homeless. They were homeless. Saint Francis of Assisi, He was a son of a very wealthy businessman, and he got some inspiration also to give it up. And he took the vow. He took the vow of poverty. Yeah. He could have been a multimillionaire, but not only did he give it up, but he took a vow of poverty. And he's one of the most famous Christians. Jesus Christ also. He's just traveling and preaching. So practically the most famous people in the world were detached. Yeah. In the Christian religion, in our religion, probably even in Islam. I'm not too familiar. Anybody know also? Yeah. So to be detached and to be attached to Krishna, this makes one famous and great. Yeah. So detachment. Then he goes on to say, then he's going to teach about self-realization, about the soul. Yeah. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's stated, Nirdeham Adyam Sudangs Dorlabam Plavam Sukapam Guru Karnadharam Mayana Koyasa Navasavaritam Pamang Beningva Tretsa Atmaha. That this human form of life is a great boon. It's a great gift. And with this human form of life, which is like a boat, with this human form of life, one can cross over the vast ocean of material existence. It's a big ocean, a vast ocean of material existence. With the human form of life, we can cross over this vast ocean of material existence. But if you have a boat, you have to also have a captain. Right? So the spiritual master, he's the captain that guides us. You know? He's guiding us across this ocean of material existence. Yeah. Now you have a boat and you have a captain, you have to have wind also. So this example was given before there was motors on the boats. There was no motors back then. Now they have these huge engines that take you across. But now we're going back before there was engines. So if you have a boat, you have a captain, there has to be wind. And what is the wind compared to? The Vedas. Yeah. The Vedas. So you have the boat, the human form of life. You have the spiritual master. He's guiding. Then you have the Vedas. Yeah. So with all this that Krishna has given us, we can understand that we're the soul. We're part of Krishna. We're the servants of Krishna. And this also is something that a lot of people aren't aware of. People ask me when I'm distributing books, so what will this book tell me? So quite often I tell them, this book will tell you that you're not American. You're not African. You're not Chinese. Within this body, there's a soul, and that's who you are. And when this body dies, you're not going to die. Nothing can kill you. Isn't that nice to know? Nice to know. They don't hear it. Even religions, they don't say, you're not the body. You'll never hear that. Did you ever hear that? I grew up a Christian. You grew up a Christian too. Never hear that. You're not that body. Never hear it. Although there is one mention of the soul. There's one mention in the soul in the Bible. That what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world, but lose the eternal soul? I think that's the only mention. I think that's the only. There might be another somewhere, but I didn't see it. But in Prabhupada's books, oh my God, look up the word soul in the Vedabase. I'm sure it's like thousands and thousands and thousands of times, isn't it? So we're getting so much information about who we actually are, the soul. And then there's information of the super soul also. Not just the soul, but who's accompanying us, always accompanying us, the super soul. This is the compassion of Krishna, that he's always there with us, the super soul. So we're trying to turn to Krishna, just like that example is given of the two birds in the tree. One is enjoying the fruits and the other is observing. So the super soul is observing. We're trying to enjoy the fruits of our activities. But we're not the enjoyers. We're the servants. So we're trying to turn to Krishna. Of course, Maya is making it not so easy. We're trying to turn to Krishna. Maya's like, don't go that direction too much. Listen, there's still a lot of opportunity here in this world, you know. Don't give up, you know. You can enjoy here. Yeah. Maya's also preaching. Yeah. Krishna's preaching to us. Maya's also preaching. And just like when we were young, we were growing up, and there was cartoons where the devil is on the shoulder here saying, hey, come on, let's go out and have a good time. And the angel is on this shoulder saying, no, don't listen to that guy. He's gonna get you in trouble. Nah, don't listen to her. She's a party pooper, you know. Come on, let's go. Yeah. So it's like that. Krishna's preaching to us here. Maya's over here. Come on, you know. What do you think you are? Some sadhu or something? Come on, let's enjoy. So Maya's also very expert at preaching. Nonsense. Yeah. So, but Krishna, he's teaching us how to get purified, how to go back home, how to go back to him. So we should listen to Krishna. And if we do, then we'll get purified. And then the last thing that he mentions is devotional service. So these are some of the things that Bhishma is speaking to Yudhisthira. Krishna's going to speak. Now we're going to hear this. Krishna's going to speak to Uddhava. So this is the essence of the teachings, is devotional service. This is the goal. It's the means and it's the end. Yeah. It's the means and it's the end. This is what we want. And the result is, of devotional service, bhakti parushana bhava virakti anyata chaisa trika ekakala. That by rendering devotional service to Krishna, one becomes detached from this world. Bhakti parushana bhava virakti anyata chaisa trika ekakala. It's described that just as when one is eating, as we're eating, eventually we become satisfied. Yeah? We become detached, right? And also we get nourishment. Hopefully, you know, nice prasadam. Sometimes the prasadam we eat is a little bit too much. But it should be healthy prasadam, right? Then we get nourishment. So this verse explains that by rendering devotional service, we get direct experience of Krishna. You get direct experience of Krishna. And if we weren't getting direct experience of Krishna, then we wouldn't stay. The higher taste must be there. Otherwise, why would we stay? So there must be something there in order to stay. Amongst the devotees, there has to be some higher experience. And it's there. Certainly it's there. And detachment, one becomes detached. And then ultimately we attain love for Krishna. So as we're eating, we become detached, we get nourishment and pleasure. Especially this restaurant here is so good. You know? Nice prasadam, very pleasurable. I was distributing books a couple of days ago, and one student came up and he said, are you connected with the Kalachanji's place there? I said, yeah. He said, wow, that prasadam is just amazing. I didn't say prasadam. He said, that food is just great. You know, I just love to go to Kalachanji's. And I hear that quite a bit, so this popular restaurant. So you get pleasure also from eating, and you get pleasure from serving Krishna. But we have to take that step towards, every step we take towards Krishna, Krishna's taking 10 steps towards us, means we're getting more pleasure. The closer we get to Krishna, the more pleasure we're going to. Of course, we shouldn't serve Krishna to get pleasure. We should serve Krishna to give pleasure to Krishna. And then we really experience the pleasure. It's even mentioned, I was just reading recently in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna, upon serving the gopis, he experiences millions of times more pleasure by serving the gopis. And Radharani also, by serving the gopis, bringing the other gopis to Krishna, she experiences millions of times more pleasure than going towards Krishna, yeah, herself. So it's a great pleasure. And therefore preaching is so important. Yeah. It gives great pleasure, yeah. See people walking away with Prabhupada's books, to see people coming to Krishna. So, therefore it's stated, tavakatamartam tapta jivanam kavirbiiditam kama sapa shravanamangalam srimad aptam bhuvigunati buridajana. That tavakatamartam tapta jivanam, that this hearing about Krishna, tavakatamartam tapta jivanam, hearing the glories of Krishna is very, very pleasing to the soul. Tapkatamratam tapta jivan. Kavibiditam kamasam. And then great poets, they say that simply by hearing the glories of Krishna, one becomes free of all the contamination of the age of Kali. We become free of the contamination simply by hearing the glories of Krishna. Shravanamangalam. It's the most auspicious activity is to hear the glories of Krishna. Shravanam mangalam srimad atatam bhuvigunantine buridhajana. And those persons who are distributing this knowledge of the Absolute Truth, they are the most munificent personalities. So this is a Sankirtan verse spoken by the gopis. So to hear about Krishna is very purifying. And to give this knowledge to others is very, very, very beneficial for us. So therefore, this is our most important activity. Okay, any question or comment? Correction? Yes, Prabhu.
Would you be kind enough to share with us the main element of your realization that keeps you totally fixed on the activity of distributing these books?
So, the main thing, I guess, that keeps me doing it is Prabhupada wanted it. Prabhupada wanted it. And people need it. And again, and it's a higher taste. I've had definitely my most wonderful experiences in this life have been while distributing Prabhupada's books. It's a higher taste. Yeah. It's an activity where you really have to take shelter of Krishna. To pray to Krishna. And book distribution gives impetus to being a strict Vaishnava, because it's not an easy activity. I mean, it's my most wonderful service, of course, but if you're not into it, it could be very painful. So it gives impetus to be into it, you know, to be into Krishna. You got to be really into Krishna in order to be into book distribution. So, and therefore, by Krishna's mercy, I have this nice sadhana. So it gives impetus to rise, you know, for the occasion. I was reading recently that I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He says the austerity that one experiences while preaching Krishna consciousness is 100 times more beneficial than other great austerities, than some of the other greatest austerities. But I read that and think, well, it's not an austerity for me. It's fun. Yeah, it's like. But I've had experiences where it was like, whew, very difficult. And it is a difficult service. Therefore, you see, there's not many people doing it. You got to really surrender. You got to really surrender. And to surrender, of course, I'm not that I'm saying I'm surrendered, but to surrender is not an easy thing. Also. But Prabhupada also, he was so happy. He was so happy preaching Krishna consciousness. Yeah, he was so happy preaching. That's a devotee's life, is preaching Krishna consciousness. And he saw so many amazing results. I mean, we're preaching now, and how many devotees are coming here to the Dallas Temple? Very few. Of course, we need an ashram here. We're going to work on that. We need an ashram. Otherwise, if someone comes, there's no way for them to come forward and participate. But imagine, he comes to America by himself with nothing. He had those rupees, but that was nothing. And gradually, people start coming. 22nd Avenue, people are coming. Taking seriously Krishna consciousness. Now, what must have really, I mean, this must have really, when Prabhupada went to San Francisco, now he, remember, he had just been at 22nd Avenue, there were some devotees there. He went to San Francisco. I mean, this must have been, as we would say in colloquial language, this must have blew Prabhupada's mind. He arrives at the airport and then there's 50 people chanting Hare Krishna. He had never been there before. He had never stepped foot in San Francisco. 50 people are loudly, he's not even into the lobby yet, and he hears loud chanting of Hare Krishna. I mean, Prabhupada must have been in ecstasy. Can you imagine? And from that, I mean, it was just, that just went on from that time on, wherever he went, that's what would happen, practically speaking. He would go to London, hundreds of devotees. You know, he would travel all over the world. But the only temple he opened up was 22nd Avenue. Amazing, Shakti. And then he was just sending people around. He sent Mukunda to San Francisco. He sent other devotees to Los Angeles. I forgot his name. What was his name? One devotee went to Los Angeles. And it just, this is how it went all over the world. Prabhupada would send people. And they would have amazing results. Went to Australia. Already hundreds of devotees. He went to Europe. It's just like unbelievable. So imagine the happiness that Prabhupada must have been experiencing upon just seeing the Hare Krishna explosion, you know, all over the world. And he was so kind. And this is why. He was so kind. He was so compassionate. I'll tell you one of the most amazing, you probably heard this, but it's one of the most amazing pastimes I've heard of Prabhupada. He was in, now this is probably maybe 74, 75. It was a very established movement around the world. Prabhupada was having lunch with his godbrothers in Mayapur. And there's one devotee that was cooking for Prabhupada. And it was so difficult, you know. Things are difficult in India sometimes. So she was cooking and it was so difficult. She had this little room and it was so, you know, all the smoke and little facility and just to get things, you know, it was so difficult. She had already been doing it for like a few weeks and she's thinking, I got to tell Prabhupada I can't do this anymore. It's just too much. I can't do this anymore. It's just unbelievable. So she cooked for Prabhupada and she cooked for the godbrothers also. And these are, they're all sannyasis. And, you know, in India, it's like, you know, a Mataji in India, you know, all these, you know, being around all these sannyasis. So she kind of, you know, covered her head and she's, you know, covering her whole body. And she, you know, goes in there and brings the plate in. She's kind of like crawling in there, you know. And she brings the prasadam in there. And all the godbrothers, they look, oh, you got a Mataji? He knows, he's thinking, they're thinking that this Mataji is cooking for him. And Prabhupada says to them, yes, she's cooking for me. But for me, she will slit her throat. And I will do the same for her. And when she heard that, she just like completely, you know, she had already been conquered by Prabhupada, but when she said that, she just like, phew. Her love for Prabhupada just like overflowed. Yeah. That he said that to his godbrothers. That she will slit her throat for me and I'll do the same for her. And after she left the room, she thought, well, I guess I'm going to keep cooking. She kept cooking. So Prabhupada just had a way of capturing devotees' hearts. Another nice one, Burijan. Burijan brought this really nice ring for Prabhupada. It was there was, it was just a really beautiful, either Krishna was on or BBT, something, there was some, something was on the ring, and it was just a really beautiful ring. He had it made for Prabhupada. So the there was a devotee massaging Prabhupada, and the devotee noticed the ring. He said, Prabhupada, that's such a beautiful ring. Who gave that to you? And Burijan is sitting in the room also. And Prabhupada looks at Burijan and he says, oh, somebody. A little secret between them. So Burijan said, boy, Prabhupada just had a way of capturing the heart, you know? And that's why this movement spread so much. He captured thousands of devotees' hearts. You know, they're just, Prabhupada would come to an airport and there'd be hundreds of devotees at the airport to greet Prabhupada. I mean, even movie stars, you know, no one does that. No one does that. Presidents, you know, no one does that. And there was one devotee that was there when Prabhupada in Los Angeles, there was like hundreds of devotees and they were jumping, fired up kirtan. You can't imagine in the airport, you know, just because the acoustics, you know, they're just like roaring, you know. You couldn't hear any, the announcements in the airport. No one could hear anything because they're just roaring kirtan. So the devotees were dancing. So they were all jumping at the same time. And one devotee just thought, wow, that's amazing. So he got down. He put his head down just to look down. When all the devotees, everybody is up, he looked down, it's just completely empty. Just completely clear. No, and all, it was just an amazing sight. You know? You could only see that with Prabhupada arriving in the airport. So much love for Prabhupada. So we're very fortunate to be able to associate with Prabhupada. Yeah. Through his lectures, through his writings, and so many ways, videos, so many ways we can associate with Prabhupada still. Yes, Prabhu.
Coming back to the question that you had, or rather the point that you had, thank you very much for, as always, an enlightening discussion. To this concept of detachment, it seems that, at least as practicing devotees, we're somewhere between, you know, trying to be attached to Krishna and really trying to be detached to the material. We're really not there. There's a little bit of that, a little bit of detachment, a little bit of attachment to Krishna. Mm-hmm. And that position is very precarious in the sense that, you know, the material energy, and especially in, as you mentioned, in colleges, seen that even more so today than even a few years ago, students are almost forced to be busy all the time. There is really hardly any breathing space.
No room for Krishna.
No room for Krishna. No room for anything. No room for themselves, let alone Krishna. I mean, they don't have time to think.
We're trying to think, no room for Maya, right? There's no room for Krishna.
Absolutely. And that's the same thing as then that continues into the job situation. They get into any kind of time available is immediately taken away with issues, with, you know, just basic staying. You can't, this whole concept, as we said, our motto is simple living. If you want to live simply as a householder, it almost seems to be you have to be either, you know, a homeless, because then at least you get Medicare and government provides you some food, or you have to be filthy rich. Everything in the middle is, and I don't know whether you have seen that, is, you know, every bit of, you know, energy that you have is sapped away by, I mean, without you even having to, you know, you're not even wanting to do it, but you have to. just to survive, just to survive. So especially in the universities, when we talk to students, they said, don't have time. I love your kirtans, don't have time. And they pass by when we're doing kirtan, but they just don't have time to stand and chant with us for even 2 minutes. And same thing with prasadam, let alone books. Actually, I know I love to read that book, but they don't have time.
It's amazing that they buy so many books from me. I can't figure it out. You know, Christian just covers them over. You know, don't you know you don't have time? You can't read. Sometimes I say that also. You know, I don't have time to read.
So how does one, even within the devotee circles, I mean, when one becomes a devotee, I've seen, especially with respect to preaching, devotees don't have time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that they don't want to preach. I mean, the best thing that they can do with preaching is to like someone else who's preaching. They'll go to Facebook and like. Yeah, that's it. And it pretty much ends there. So, and it is, especially as grasses. Now, there's two questions that I have here. Now, one is in terms of, it was, Srila Prabhupada sometimes was mentioned that, you know, the primary responsibilities for the householders is to give in charity and to help those who are preaching, whereas the primary responsibility for the ones in the renounced order, all the three other ashrams, the Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, is to preach. So it, at least in North America, it's exactly the opposite. Or I wouldn't say opposite, at least for grihasthas, you know, it's expected that the grihasthas preach. If you look at all the bhakti vrikshas that are happening, if you see that college programs that are happening, it's grihasthas, and it seems, it's, you know, you have put a half-hearted effort into making that happen, and, you know, you get half-hearted results.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't say half-hearted, but it's just about barely minimum that they're able to do. So how does one get from this a position where one is detached enough that one is able to actually give time to preaching?
Well, we do have examples of householders that are preaching. Somehow they're able to work it out, you know, somehow. If you have that strong desire, then the Krishna, he could make some, you know, he's a master of mystics, he can make arrangements so that you have free time. There's many devotees in our movement that are doing a lot of preaching in the household ashram. Now you're in a situation where you're working for a business, but you should be open that Krishna could make it so that you could make ends meet. You know, you have bills to pay, things to do, and preach at the same time. There's devotees that have that opportunity, and it's because they desired it. So if you have that desire, then Krishna, because he wants us to preach. Yeah, that's our main activity. So be open for that possibility, and even pray for it, and then Krishna can give that result. But yeah, now if you're working, you know, you're just depending on what's going on in society now. You know, just working for some company, it's just, you get caught up, and it's so difficult. I know. I mean, I've heard that it's so difficult. The bills and mortgage, insurance, so many things you have, you know, with your children, wife, and yeah, it's It's not an easy thing. Therefore, it's an artificial society. We just built up so much need for money just to maintain. It's scary. I thank Krishna, like anything. I was able to get by all that. But you have to pray to Krishna. If you want to preach, then Krishna, he can make all arrangements. We have so many devotees. In England, there's many householders that they're able to preach, and Krishna's taking care of them. Yeah. America also. It's okay. Yeah.
What is your, this is maybe not indirect, what is your opinion, or what do you think, in terms of the prerogatives of...
The what?
The prerogative, the priority.
Priority.
Priority for a temple, as a temple, we sometimes do not promote detachment as much, where preaching becomes secondary a little bit to the
preaching becomes
secondary to the maintenance of the institution, and at the same time that we understand that the temple is necessary. But how does, what's preventing, as you said in your class, where are the devotees? And so what do you think would help in terms of getting the temple to focus more on the preaching activities? And while I understand the limitations of the temple, and it's pretty much the same as a grihastha ashram, bills have to be paid, and insurance has to be paid, and mortgage has to be paid, mm-hmm. and if that doesn't pay, the temple doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if preaching doesn't happen, there are no devotees. So, have you seen? You travel a lot. What is your?
Well, what you just did is the beginning. It has to be voiced, that we should be doing more. We should be preaching. Maintaining the temple, of course, is very important. But what is most important is that we help others. Preaching is the essence. Books are the basis. Purity is the force. What's the other one? Utility is the principle. So, this is what this movement is about, actually. It's preaching, not maintaining. We want to help the conditioned soul. There's so many souls that we can be helping, that people can come here and just immerse themselves in Krishna. They could. If we get an ashram, then people could come and experience the happiness of coming to Krishna and learning about Krishna and serving Krishna. So, I think that's coming around. I think it's coming around by the mercy of Krishna. Keshava Bharati Maharaj and Vaisheshika Prabhu and myself, we're doing a lot of discussion about this, and Nityananda Prabhu also, he's in favor of this happening. It'll take a little bit of time, but it's in the works. Got to get it going. That's one reason I'm here, trying to scope out the scene here and see if we can work something out. Yeah, sorry. Because it's what's most needed, you know. People, they want Krishna, but they don't know it. So we have to go out and distribute books and let them know and invite people here to participate, learn about Krishna, give their lives to Krishna. This was Prabhupada's program. Yeah. I don't think he would be very pleased that there wasn't a facility at a temple where people couldn't even come and live amongst the devotees and learn about Krishna. So it's in the works. Subtly it's coming around. Krishna's subtly making his desire manifest. So I think it'll happen. It'll be encouraging to see some new souls coming in here and chanting and dancing. You know, after year after year after year after year, you don't see any new faces, and it can be a little depressing. But then you see new, nice, you know, lively people coming. It's exciting. Oh, good, nice. Yeah. So,
what I understand is that both temple and preaching, both are equally important. And Prabhuji's point was maintaining temple takes, you know, a lot of effort.
And preaching also, making devotees also takes a lot of effort also. Yeah.
Yes. So does that mean that we have to find a balance between, you know, having a full-time dedicated devotees to maintain the temple, also being a part of preaching activity? Because right now, probably the situation is that
more
Guru stars trying to maintain the temple as well as trying to take part in preaching, uh-huh. and we're not able to find the balance.
Right.
So, I mean, how do we mitigate that basically? Does that mean that having more devotees dedicated just for maintaining temple, also preaching, and then others to help,
uh-huh.
bring donations or give charity?
Well, yeah, that's something that has to be worked out with the management, that there has to be like a balance, you know, like, you know, preaching is very important. It's very important. Maintaining the temple is very important, of course. So it's a gradual process now. Pretty much preaching hasn't been going on here for a long time. Something has been going on, you know, college preaching. But there can be a lot more. There's much, much room for improvement in the preaching field. So hopefully that will improve. If we, like the devotees here now, most of them, they're working, maintaining their household, and then others are working here to maintain the temple. So there's not much free devotees. So if we get an ashram, we get new people, then we'll be, you know, gradually they can also, you know, take seriously Krishna consciousness, and they could be that preaching force, you know, going out to colleges. And so it'll be a gradual process. It's been so long since we've had a lot of preaching here, so to pick it up again, it won't be an easy thing. So, but with Krishna's mercy, with Sri Sri Radha Kala Chanji's mercy, Sri Sri Gauranitai's mercy, Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, hopefully we'll get it going again. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki jai!